Blog Talk Radio.
Don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will think so, I'm gonna slap you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will think so, I'm gonna slap you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left.
None of me.
Holla,
holla, holla.
Okay. How's everybody doing? Top of the morning to you. I know it's not really morning, but, you know, for a guy like me, it's morning. Because, I don't know. It's morning until, like, noon for me. And even sometimes at noon, it feels like morning. I'm one of those people who, I just have a naturally late clock. Like, I always go to sleep. It's got, the earliest I go to sleep is, like, 12 o'clock. But it's really more like 1 or 2. And the wake-up time is usually, like, 9-ish. 9-ish. I know, as you get older, you're supposed to wake up earlier. At least that's what old people tell me. Oh, yeah, you can't sleep past, like, 7, bro. I'm like, oh, yeah? Wait till I get older. Watch me. I will do it. Okay, so a lot of stuff to get to today. Oh, boy, we got ICE agents and their atrocious actions. Wait until you hear what they're up to now. It's as bad as it gets. I mean, it's just so immoral. But anyway, I don't want to ruin too much on that front. So I will shut the fuck up with the specifics. Donald Trump's ambassador to Canada is embarrassing the United States of America, just like Donald Trump does. It's on the issue of climate change. We'll discuss what she said there. We have some congresspeople who are, is the word squabbling, whatever the word is, over the definition of the word rich. Kind of reminds me of Bill Clinton from back in the day when he was like, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. That's what this woman reminds me of, this congresswoman. And yes, that is me stapling as I chat with you lovely people. And then another I Told You So segment, this time in regards to more polls on the feelings of the members of the Democratic Party. And, yeah, let's go ahead and get started, man. I don't know why I'm continuing to tease you. Well, actually, I do know why I'm continuing to tease you. I'm kind of putting things in order as we speak. Wait for it. And time. Okay, we're good. All right. Big New York Times report came out this week. Clinton campaign and Democratic Party helped pay for Russia Trump dossier. Uh-oh. So they say the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee paid for research that was included in a dossier made public in January that contained salacious claims about connections between Donald J. Trump, his associates, and Russia. Spokesperson for a law firm said on Tuesday that it had hired Washington-based researchers last year to gather damaging information about Mr. Trump on numerous subjects, including possible ties to Russia. On behalf of the Clinton campaign and the DNC, the revelation, which emerged from a letter filed in court on Tuesday, is likely to fuel new partisan attacks over federal and congressional investigations into Russia's attempt to disrupt last year's election and whether any of Mr. Trump's associates assisted in the effort. The president and his allies have argued for months that the investigations are politically motivated. They have challenged the information contained in the dossier, which was compiled by a former British spy who had been contracted by the Washington research firm Fusion GPS. Okay, so yet again, you do understand what this means, right? Now, this piece is in the New York Times. Nobody can argue the New York Times is more pro-Trump than pro-Hillary. Of course they're more pro-Hillary. That's a given. They're the New York Times. And this is in the New York Times, not in the opinion section. This is a piece in the New York Times saying, yes, it was discovered through court proceedings that, remember the PP tape dossier, because that's what they're referring to here. They're saying, yeah, by the way, the people who financed that, it was kind of the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign. Wait, what? What? Whoa, hold on now. Guys, the Clinton campaign just spent the last couple months repeating over and over and over, and the Democratic Party, corporate Democrats, just spent the last few months saying over and over and over, Donald Trump colluded with Russia, Donald Trump colluded with Russia, Donald Trump colluded with Russia, and you can't do that in an election. And then with this report, we now know that apparently the Clinton campaign colluded with Russia. They colluded with a former British spy to get information from Russian officials on, dirt on Donald Trump. Now, listen, to me, largely irrelevant, as long as the information we're talking about is accurate, as long as it's true. Here's the problem, and I expressed this from day one when the PP tape allegations came out. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. There indeed is no evidence of the PP tape. Sorry, it's not like I'm soft on Trump. I mean, I'm the guy who calls him Terrorist Don for his repeated claims of we have to take out their families. And by the way, he did. His first military raid as president killed an 8-year-old American girl, increasing drone strikes by 432%. He's a monster. So I'm not soft on Trump, but there was just no evidence for the PP tape. Now, you ready for this? How much was paid by the DNC and the Clinton campaign to their lawyers, okay, and this research firm that did the opposition research is part of that group with the lawyers. They paid $12.4 million to them. Wow. You know, I don't know about you guys, but to me it looks like $12.4 million is a significant amount of money where you can pretty much get anybody, any unscrupulous person, to tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear. Hey, here's $12.4 million. Go get me some dirt on Trump. Oh, well, there's... See, what had happened was somebody had told somebody that Donald Trump, there's a pee-pee tape, and Trump likes to watch hookers piss on the bed or something. So, listen, man, I said it a million times, I'll say it a million more. In my mind, the only thing that matters is the information true or not? That's why with the WikiLeaks stuff, it's so important to discuss it because it's internal DNC emails, and we learned that it's true. It's true that they rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders. It's a fact. So you can't just say, oh, it maybe came from Russia, so let's dismiss it. No, it is accurate. The DNC emails are proven, so that's why it's important to discuss it. This is an issue where they just have presented no evidence. If it's true, I'll be the first one to come out here and say, you know what, I was wrong. There is evidence for it, and it is true. But no, when you have the DNC and you have the Clinton campaign paying to get dirt on Trump, they pay $12.4 million, and then lo and behold, they come out with some salacious information that they think could sink the Trump campaign. And you know what the really big giveaway is? This is the part, and to be clear, I think this leaked after the election, not during the election. But the biggest giveaway is that in the article, they talk about how internally the DNC and the Clinton campaign, they said, hey, nothing seems to be working attacking this guy. It doesn't seem to be working. So whenever we bring up policy, so his hypocrisy, we don't think it works. We don't think that's landing. Whenever we bring up his giant character flaws and how, you know, much of a loose cannon he is, that doesn't seem to be working either. He's relatively consistent in the polls no matter what we say. So how do we tank this guy? Well, When you think you're out of options, when you've tried policy attacks and you've tried character attacks, what's next? the only thing that's left is some sort of salacious bombshell where you think, you know, it's so beyond the pale that people will go, oh, come on, I can't, really, pee-pee tape guy? No, can't have that. So, wow. It's just, you know, it's just amazing to me because it does show you that it has been a case of projection, man. And it doesn't matter which candidate you agree with more, disagree with more, putting aside all that stuff. Just focusing on this issue, the Russia issue. Listen, it's a fact. Like, the Uranium One deal that's been getting a lot of press lately, people are mocking others for bringing it up. Corporate Democrats are mocking people for bringing it up. You know, Chris Hayes on Twitter, like, we've entered the, that's the real Russia scandal phase. But I don't see anybody actually rebutting it. So, in other words, for those of you who don't know, we did a long segment on this. The Uranium One scandal is Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder were on a committee, and Obama signed off on this, by the way, on a deal to give Russia control of 20% of U.S. uranium. Now, as that was going on, the FBI had significant evidence that Russia was doing bribes behind the scenes to try to get this deal approved. At the same time, the Clinton Foundation, you know, Bill Clinton's going and doing a bunch of speeches in Russia, and Russia's giving a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation. So, wow, look at that. As Bill Clinton's getting paid off by Russia, and there's other bribery going on behind the scenes in the U.S., Russian officials are doing that, the committee approves a deal to give Russia control 20% of U.S. uranium, and Obama signs off on it, knowing that the FBI has a mountain of evidence that how we got to this place was Russia doing a lot of bribery, and there's a lot of corruption going on. So people are mocking that as if, like, you know, hey, it's because Democrats are saying that Russia colluded with Trump that now the right is trying to make an argument that, no, maybe it was Hillary that really colluded with Russia. But again, in that story, I see the connections. I see the, okay, the money went to Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, and then this committee approved the deal where Russia gets control of 20% of the uranium. In other words, I see it all the way through to fruition. I see the line in the logical progression. In the claims against Trump, look, it's not like I don't want to see connections with Trump. I just don't see it because he's done nothing that's tangibly helped them. So the idea is, oh, you know, Russia's on Trump's team. So Trump will, of course, this is the way bribery and corruption works, will do favorable policies to Russia to help them out. Okay, well, what would favorable policies to Russia be? Well, for example, one of those things would be not attacking their close ally in Syria. But they bombed the fighter jets in the Syrian airport. They've been constantly attacking people on the side of the Syrian government. So Russia does not want that. So they're not doing what Russia wants. Furthermore, they increase sanctions. It's not just that we already had a tremendous amount of sanctions on Russia. We did. We had a round after Crimea under Obama. Then we had a round after the election under Obama. Then Congress passed even more sanctions. And Trump said, all right, I guess I'm signing it. And he signed that, and then now the newest thing that they try to pretend like, oh, he's helping Russia, is that it took an extra 3 weeks before they implemented the sanctions. Really? That's your fucking claim of how bought he is by Russia? That he delayed an even more punitive action on them that is now being implemented? So, in other words, in the case of Trump, he hasn't done anything that benefits them. So I don't see how you can make the claim that he's a puppet of them when he's doing everything they don't want him to do. So, yes, I see the line in the Hillary Clinton example. I don't see the line in the Trump example. Now, by the way, is it possible and is it almost likely that Trump is, like, laundering money for Russian oligarchs? Yeah, that definitely is possible, and that definitely is likely because Trump has businesses in 12 different countries, okay? And it's not like he's not corrupt. Of course he's corrupt. I use the example of Saudi Arabia all the time because he registered 12 new businesses in Saudi Arabia during the campaign, and then when he gets elected, he did a $110 billion weapons deal with them. So maybe that has something to do with the fact that he's got close personal ties to them. Yes, he's in $100 billion worth of personal debt, mostly held on Wall Street. Is that one of the reasons why he's super subservient to them and doing whatever they want? Yes, of course. So he is corrupt, and he is corrupt with foreign governments. I think he already violated the Emoluments Clause. But in terms of the claim of the Russian government, him helping the Russian government, he just hasn't done it. He's sure he's helped Russian oligarchs. I'm sure that's the case because he's helped so many rich business people around the world. And like I said, he's in business with 12 different countries, helped them out. Another thing is they've paid exorbitant amounts of money to his hotels when they're here, and then he does favors for them policy-wise, not Russia, but other countries. So, yes, he's corrupt, but I just don't see the line when it comes to the specific issue of Russia. And now we know there's two stories about Hillary Clinton and the DNC in Russia, and I see the line all the way through. I see the, okay, you guys approved the Uranium One deal and gave Russia 20% of control of U.S. uranium. I see the line there. I see the line here. I see the line of, you wanted dirt on Russia, so you worked with a former British spy who worked with Russian officials who gave you information. Remember, you guys said, hey, you can't take any information that involves foreign powers. You guys said that about Trump. You guys said that. That's why there was such an outcry over Donald Trump Jr. meeting with somebody who was Russian. Because you go, oh, you can't take information from foreign governments and foreign people. What are you, crazy? That you can't do that. That's collusion. Well, then by your own definition, this is collusion. Because this is you getting a British spy to do opposition research. The British spy got information from Russian officials on the so-called pee-pee tape. And by the way, you paid $12.4 million for it. So, again, I think they're willing to tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear. Look, it is a case of projection. Sorry. It is a case of projection when it comes to the issue of Russia. You can cry all you want. You can say, oh, my God, you know, I disagree with Kyle because Russia, Russia, Russia. But every story that's come out about Russia on the Democratic side where they're trying to go after Trump and the Republicans for it, each one is goofier than the next. Now they've gone all the way to the bottom, and the argument is Russia is causing us to have arguments. They're sowing discord. Well, as if we were so fucking peaceful beforehand? Like, what? Are you kidding me? There's always been vehement, rigorous debate in the United States. People don't agree. We don't agree. There are right-wingers, there are left-wingers. Of course, this is the political landscape. But now they're just saying, well, we wouldn't be fighting so much if it wasn't for Russia. That's why Russia is hiring black activists to go after Hillary Clinton. They point to YouTube channels that have 260 subscribers. Now they're saying Standing Rock activists were Russian agents. Are you fucking kidding me? So the water protectors are Russian agents. What they're trying to do, what corporate Democrats are trying to do, kill two birds with one stone, undermine every movement to their left, every Bernie Sanders-linked movement, undermine them while at the same time smearing the right and trying to say, hey, the only reason they're in a position of power is because of a hostile foreign government, Russia, that put them there. Now, please look away, even though I approved a deal where Russia got 20% of U.S. uranium, and look away as we paid to get information from Russia that would smear Trump. Listen, man, I don't know how many times I could say it. All I want to do is make it so the Democrats win again. All I want to do is make it so that we fix the country. All I want to do is make it so the Democrats care about things that matter: Medicare for all, free college, living wage, ending the wars, ending the drug war, New Deal. You go down the list. Raise taxes on the rich. That's what I'm trying to do. But when the Democrats are making the argument, Russia, 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 and then it turns out information like this comes out and it shows that they're just doing projection and it's a hacky argument, you're making yourself look bad. I'm trying to stop that and make you principled. it's just so pathetic. And then they'll dig their hole deeper, you know, the Neera Tandons and the Peter Dows and the fucking, you know, Hillary Clinton wing of the party. They'll keep digging and keep digging and keep digging. And Maxine Waters now calling for an investigation into which Russians were tweeting in her district. Like, they'll just keep digging their hole deeper, and it will make the American people's eyes roll over. In fact, I'm not going to spoil it now, but there's a story we're getting to later in the show, poll numbers that prove my point. It's not even just that the American people are tired of the Russia, Russia, Russia nonsense. Democratic voters are tired of it. So let's put it all to rest. Put it all to rest and move on and focus on the issues. Okay. All right, now let's make fun of Trump. Donald Trump has made a habit of running to right-wing press outlets to boost his ego as he gets negative press elsewhere. So Media Matters made a compilation of some of those appearances. This is fun.
Mr. President, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so proud of everything you're doing.
So, how was your week?
You guys want to start with good news?
You have accomplished so much in that 9 months.
Tell me, how good is your press secretary?
Who's been your biggest opponent? Has it been Democrats resisting? Has it been fake news media? Has it been deep state leaks?
Deep state that has been leaking on you. So much fake news. And we
you
have
agree with that, fake news?
You probably agree with me.
Your agenda is not getting out because people are caught up on the Comey issue and ridiculous stuff.
I agree. I've never seen any one person face as much in terms of attacks as you have.
There are thousands and thousands of people praying for you all the time.
They're holding you up. Overwhelmingly, there's a lot of support for you here. Congress.
The country owes you a great debt on so much, but on that in particular.
It's very interesting. It's well put.
It's true.
I opened up the failing New York Times and the Washington Post this morning.
Dennis Rodman.
Are you moving so quickly that your communications department cannot keep up with
yes.
you?
Yes.
You're also one of the most loved and respected.
I would say that also.
There was so much effusive praise for your visit to Puerto Rico by the governor, by most of those mayors, who said we've never seen this level of response from the federal government.
You are fighting like hell every day.
When I walked in, the cheering was incredible.
You were a rock star. I saw the video of it.
It was crazy.
You're better than President Bush. I mean, the federal pages are down 30% under your leadership.
And are Republican senators doing enough to have your back?
Just know that we will forever vote for you.
I have a friend who's a trucker. And he loves us. He's very proud of his equipment.
You have been so great, and I'm very proud of you.
The show, which I watch absolutely almost all the time, even if it means TiVo or whatever device you happen to be using at the time.
We appreciate it.
But no, your show is fantastic.
Thank
you for your support over the years. You've been so fantastic.
You are most welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So
proud of what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Appreciate it.
Let's keep this country safe. And I think that's our prayer for you and the country.
All I know is Fox is good.
Yeah, you are fair.
And I have to say, Fox has treated me fairly. And I don't mean good, but they've treated me fairly. I don't want to be treated good. I just want to be treated fairly.
All I want is fair. I don't want anything else. I just want fair. And Fox has really been fair, and I appreciate it.
You are, if I may say, everything is advertised as you ran for president. And appreciate everything you're doing.
Oh, my God. That's so embarrassing. They're such sycophants, man. It really is like a cult. That's like a cult, what you just saw. And look, people always try to flip that back around on us and go, oh, you're a Bernie guy. You're telling me that wasn't like a cult. That's right. I'm telling you it was nothing like a cult. You want to know why? Because it was about his policies, not the person. The person is a 1,000-year-old Jewish socialist, maybe atheist, who has shitty posture and never combs his hair. So we weren't like, wow, what a rock star. What a charming-looking fellow, you know. It had nothing to do with him personally. It had to do with what he was pushing for. And if you don't believe me, look at when he's out of lockstep with his supporters. For example, on the issue of BDS, nobody was harder on him than myself and other otherwise huge Bernie supporters when he, you know, started smearing BDS and saying, you know, I don't agree with that movement. So you don't see that in Trump circles, man. I mean, let me just give you one example. There was people don't talk about this nearly enough. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody else talk about it. But there was a bill that Trump signed that literally had an approval rating of 6% among the American people. It was a bill that gutted your internet privacy rights. It used to be the case that when you put your information online, whatever site collects that information needs your approval before they would take that information and give it to other sites and give it to other companies. The Republicans said, no, we want to give them carte blanche, do whatever with your information. So every Republican voted, yeah, let's gut internet privacy rights. They no longer need your approval. And Trump was like, yeah, I'm going to sign off on that. So, and there he is doing his interviews. You would think that's question number one you'd ask a president. Why on earth would you sign a bill that had a 6% approval rating? That means the overwhelming majority of even your base said, I don't want you to do that, but you did it. But you did. Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? No, it doesn't come up. Doesn't come up because it's like a cult. You know, they fucking falling all over themselves, and ugh, it's just so gross. It's just such a lack of independent thinking. But my favorite aspect of this story is there's a new modern-ish right-wing movement that loves to point out. And by the way, I agree with this part. They love to point out, hey man, it's out of control, the speech police on college campuses, and how authoritarian they are, and how they don't want any conservative speakers. And that's not cool. And look at these snowflakes. Look at these people who are against free speech. Look at these people who whine about microaggressions. Look at these people who want their safe spaces where nobody disagrees with them. That is the ultimate safe space you just watched. And the effects are even worse because it is the most powerful man on earth running to his safe space to boost his ego and make himself feel like he's doing nothing wrong as he tanks the fucking country with odious policies. So don't talk to me. If you're part of that modern right-wing movement, don't fucking talk to me until you start critiquing shit like this. Because we can sit here and scream at, silly, oversensitive college kids until we're blue in the face. But what has more of an impact on the world? Them or this guy who's the most powerful man on earth who's constantly getting his feelings reaffirmed and not being challenged? When Trump is in his safe space, that's the most dangerous safe space that there ever was. And remember, he also is a snowflake and he also is a social injustice warrior. Because this is the guy who sued Bill Maher over a joke that hurt his feelings. This is a guy who threatened to sue The Onion over a satire article. This is a guy who repeatedly says he wants to de-license, whatever that means, news agencies that publish stuff that he considers fake news. Fake news. So, and he said he wants to, ban flag burning. So, there's never been a president who's more hostile to the First Amendment, free speech, and free expression, okay? So if that's your main issue, you should be talking a lot about this president. If your issue is, come on, get the fuck out of your safe spaces and challenge yourselves, well, you should talk endlessly about this president because that is the safest of all safe spaces, the snowflakiest of all snowflakes. So get your head out of your fucking ass and talk about issues that matter because clearly this is having real-world effects. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, another I told you so story. And then Fox News, yet again, creating their safe space. I got another story on that front. You don't want to miss it. It has to do with new college class. Stay right there, guys. We will be right back.
It's
with the left, the left. You will think so, one gon' drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will think so, one gon' drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left.
All right, welcome back, bitch. Okay, here we go. Probably my favorite story of the day, and you'll find out why very quickly. Today, in the diary of I Told You So, an article from Mike.com. Poll, a majority of Democrats want the party to move left and oppose its leadership. Yeah. I mean, I'm gloating here, but at the same time, I shouldn't be gloating because every one of you knew that was the case. Fucking Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, people are going to look at them. Yes, they're the future. But they've been in politics forever. And it was with them in power that you had the Democrats lose 1,000 seats. 1,000. I'm not sure we could have lost that many seats if we tried. You put us in that position, you know, at the height of Democratic power, there's no way we'd lose that many seats. But the specifics of this poll are absolutely amazing. A new Harvard-Harris poll finds that the majority of Democrats and the overwhelming majority of young Democrats believe that the party is insufficiently to the left. 52% of Democrats polled say that they support movements within the Democratic Party to take it even further to the left and oppose the current Democratic leaders. The strongest support for moving the party left came from young Democrats, with 69% of Democrats ages 18 to 34 saying they support those left movements. The poll also found that Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders continues his streak as the country's most popular major politician, with the highest favorables of any candidate among all respondents, as well as among key subsets including African Americans, Hispanic people, and young people. Okay, yet again, I told you so. One of the grossest smears of Bernie Sanders was that, come on, let's keep it real. He can't win with minorities, okay? You need Hillary. You need Hillary in the general election because obviously she does better with minorities. Well, I just told you. He actually has the highest favorables among any candidate overall and the highest favorables among African Americans, Hispanic people, and young people. And by the way, how do Democrats win? Democrats win when there's a gigantic youth turnout. Old people always show up to vote. It just is what it is. That's what the numbers show. Young people do not. They say, look, you got to show me something. Show me something. Inspire me. Tell me what you're going to do. Show me how you're going to represent me. When somebody comes along like Hillary Clinton and she's like, yeah, I'm pretty much not going to do that. I'm just going to continue the status quo. They go, whatever. So two very important groups. Well, there's a variety of very important groups for Democrats. But you need to have a high turnout among millennials. You need to have high turnout among minorities. And you also need high turnout among working class voters in the Rust Belt. Again, a group that did not turn out for Hillary because she's a corporatist and a group that would have turned out for Bernie Sanders. So what we're learning here is not just that Bernie Sanders is the most popular politician. We already knew that that was the case. Every poll to this point has shown that. But what we're learning is, particularly among young Democrats, they even correctly identify what they want to do with the labels. So oftentimes you've heard me say on this show, labels largely don't matter because a lot of people don't know anything about labels. So for example, people who in the primary in the Midwest self-described as more conservative, voted for Bernie Sanders overwhelmingly over Hillary Clinton. Now, you'd say that makes no sense. Hillary's more conservative. That's right. It does make no sense. Hillary is more conservative. So the only explanation to that is what? These people call themselves conservative, but they don't even know that they're really populist left because they say, I agree with everything Bernie says, but I'd call myself conservative. So a lot of people don't know much about labels except for one group. There are young people, millennials, who are just more educated on this stuff in general. So, and when you're more educated on it, you can correctly identify the problem. and there's 69% of Democrats age 18 to 34, so the future, they're like, yeah, the party needs to move left. That's what needs to happen. The title of this article might as well be a poll. A majority of Democrats want justice Democrats and not corporate Democrats. They may as well have put that, because what they're describing is exactly what justice Democrats are about. Medicare for all, free college, living wage, end the war, end the drug war. These are all things moving in a populist left direction with the added benefit of no corporate money, no PAC money. So candidates who are not bought, they're beholden to the people, and they represent the positions that the overwhelming majority of Democrats want to see their elected officials represent, but even the majority of just Americans. Okay. I got to get to another part of this, though, because this is incredible. Meanwhile, nearly two-thirds of respondents felt that the current investigations into President Donald Trump's ties to Russia are hurting the country more than helping. Only 51% of Democrats felt the investigation was helping, with the other 49% arguing it was hurting. Those results taken together appear to bolster the left's broad critique of the Democratic Party, which accuses the party of focusing too much on feuding with Trump and not enough on building a coherent vision for the left. The poll comes out at a time when the National Democratic Party is plagued by infighting over its direction and future. A recent staff shakeup at the Democratic National Committee have left many in the Bernie wing of the party feeling as though party leadership is determined to excise them from positions of power. Trump, for his part, remains significantly unfavorable, tied with his former presidential rival Hillary Clinton with the highest unfavorable rate in the country. But Trump's net favorable rating is actually higher than Clinton's, as well as several other high-profile politicians, including Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and Nancy Pelosi. Again, I couldn't – if I had told you this stuff without giving a source, you would think I'm lying to you. You'd be like, yeah, okay, what? There's a poll that backs up, like, literally everything you've been saying? Yeah, that's right. There is, 100%. Harvard-Harris poll goes into detail. Democrats are saying, number one, move to the left. Stop with your mealy-mouthed, neoliberal, centrist, corporatist garbage. Number two, shut the fuck up with your Russia, 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 and you're focusing on attacking Trump without telling me what you're for. They're saying, I know what you're against. I got it. You don't like Trump. Understood. What are you for? It's not enough to say, oh, yeah, he's bad. He's, like, really bad, bro. Okay, but then if people vote for you, what are you going to do? What's your vision? And that's why they're saying also move to the left. Because the answer should be, like I said a zillion times, Medicare for all, free college, living wage. You have to stand for something. You have to stand for something. If you're just positioning yourself as anti-Trump, that's ridiculous. Because you have no ideology. You're just saying it's a game of personal politics with you. I don't like him, so vote for me. Even though I'm not going to tell you what I'm for, and I'm not really for anything. But I'm just against him. Recipe for disaster. You should, yes, resist and oppose him because his policies are draconian, but say, I don't want to do that. Here's what I do want to do. JusticeDemocrats.com/fight. If you think we can't win, then you just weren't listening to what I was just saying about how they already agree with us. They already agree with us. The Democratic Party already agrees with us. The people and the country agrees with us. So let's make it happen. JusticeDemocrats.com/fight. Okay. Now, let's talk about JFK. Oh, boy. Do you guys remember how Trump tweeted the other day that he's going to release the JFK files. He went and he took credit, and he's like, I am releasing the JFK files. And as I've explained previously, that was bullshit because they were scheduled to be released. So they're scheduled to be released, but he's like, yeah, I am releasing them. So he's trying to take credit for something that was already planned to happen. Well, now, this is so precious. Look at this. Twitter blows up over Trump's decision to delay release of some JFK files. That's such a Trump. Like, this whole story is just Trump in a nutshell. Something's already going to happen without him being involved. He takes credit for that thing. And then at the end of it all, he actually makes it worse and he goes back on what he said. Okay, so they say, this is from Mediaite. Today was supposed to be the day when the federal government was scheduled to release all the remaining secret documents related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. However, late this afternoon, the White House announced that while it would approve the release of 2,800 records, President Donald Trump was delaying the release of others over national security concerns. Those records will be reviewed for another 6 months. And then you see the AP tweet there. Trump delays release of some files related to assassination of JFK, approves 2,800 other records for release. Oh, okay. Here's a question. What on earth could be damaging about national security for something that happened that long ago? The JFK assassination, they're going, we can't release everything because of national security. Really? That makes no sense. You can't even give me a theoretical argument as to how it would damage national security if you release this. So what does this mean? Look, I've always been rather agnostic on all the conspiracy theories regarding JFK. But when I see stuff like this, I'm more inclined to lean in the direction of, obviously something's going on that they're not telling us because they literally don't want to tell us. So probably what they're going to do is the oldest trick in the book that's happened forever, which is governments declaring that shit that makes them look bad needs to be top secret or classified over national security. That's so, like, this is, they always do it. It happened with the Pentagon Papers and Daniel Ellsberg, you know, hey, look, our soldiers are doing atrocities. We are napalming and agent oranging innocent villagers in Vietnam. What does the government say? Oh, you that's top secret classified information. Can't release that information. Wait, what? There's no reason to keep that top secret classified. In fact, that should be released so that the American people could put pressure on you to stop massacring civilians. Yeah, it makes us look bad, so we're going to hide that. And then when Danny Ellsberg releases that information, they go, traitor, traitor, for telling us exactly what our government's doing with our money in our name and all the mass atrocities they're doing. No, it's not a traitor. That's a whistleblower. That's a fucking hero. Every step of the way, oh, shit, this makes us look bad? Top secret classified. Can't see that. Can't see that. Now with JFK, they're like, well, that part right there. It looks like there's a little too much CIA involvement there, and people might connect the dots too much. So, top secret. National security. National security. I mean, if we release this, the fucking people in Zimbabwe are going to invade. Like, what the fuck? Donald Trump, the servile little establishment bitch. Hey, Don, you do realize you could override them? You do get that, right? You're the head of every executive agency. You do understand that, right? You do understand that, right? You do understand that, right? So, you know, Mr. I will release them. What happened? Now all of a sudden you're not going to release them. You're not going to release probably the most vital ones. That's why they're hiding them. What a little bitch, man. You know, when I had that debate the other day, we got into this, and I kept pointing out, hey, look, he railed against Goldman Sachs, for example, on the campaign trail repeatedly, said Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton were puppets of Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. Then he appoints multiple Goldman Sachs lackeys in his administration, and they're doing the bidding of Goldman Sachs, crafting a tax plan that Goldman Sachs is in favor of, trying to privatize swaths of our infrastructure and make Goldman Sachs the beneficiary. Gary Cohn got a $285 million exit bonus, and he's doing Goldman Sachs bidding. So he ranted against the establishment, but he's acting like the biggest establishment insider ever because he's a fucking liar, because he's a hypocrite. Same shit here.
I will stand up to the deep state. They're doing all these leaks on me, and I don't like it. So I will show them who is boss. I will release the JFK... I will not be releasing the most important JFK files. I'm so strong, and I'm so anti-establishment by doing the establishment's bidding 100%.
Okay. All right, now... should I go to the Fox News? I don't want to do the Fox News one yet. We're going to hold off on that. Climate change, ice. Yeah, okay. So, anyway. Let's do the story about the insanely out-of-touch congressperson. Here's a great example of how incredibly elitist and out-of-touch many politicians in D.C. are. What is rich, asks Congresswoman, worth $75 million? Quote, is $1 million rich? Is $10 million rich? Is $1 billion rich? While trying to sell the GOP tax plan as a benefit for the middle class, Representative Diane Black, a Republican of Tennessee, argued on Monday that it's hard to tell whether millionaires are in the middle class or are considered rich. Fox Business host Trish Regan pressed Black, who chairs the House Budget Committee, about whether the GOP tax plan would actually hurt wealthy taxpayers. She asked how socking it to the rich would help Republicans curry favor with the middle class. Quote, well, I don't know that you would call that socking it to the rich if there wasn't a decrease in the marginal rate, because there are other things that will help those who are at the higher income level, she said. I'm always careful about calling people rich, because what is rich? Is $1 million rich? Is $10 million rich? Is $1 billion rich? So I want to be careful about that. But we really want to be sure that there are some pieces in there besides just the marginal rate, such as getting rid of the alternative minimum tax. There are some other pieces in there that do help those at upper income. Okay, so they go on here in the article, and they say, to answer Black's question, yes, you are rich if you have $1 million, $10 million, or $1 billion. A net worth, so not income, but a net worth, $630,754 would put you among the wealthiest 20% of Americans, according to 2011 census data. And actually, so I happen to know a little bit more about, income and where that makes you land on the spectrum. If you make about $1 million a year, that qualifies for top 1%. So this woman is worth $75 million a year. Sweetheart, you are solidly in the top 1%. But that, but it shows you how out of touch they are. They don't get it. They really don't get it. They really don't get it. They don't understand that half of workers in the U.S. make $30,000 a year or less. They don't get it. They do not get it. So when you have a situation where the top 0.1% has more wealth than the bottom 90%, to ask the question about, hey, what counts as rich and what doesn't count as what, it's a lot like the famous quote from the Supreme Court Justice. And I think they were talking about the issue of pornography in that case, where he says, you know it when you see it. You know it when you see it. Yeah, that's the same thing with this. What's rich? Is it $1 million? Is it seven? Is it 10 million? Is it 1 billion? You know it when you fucking see it. Your ass is rich. And yes, the Republicans are trying to cut taxes for the rich. I went over this before, but according to the CBO, Donald Trump's original tax proposal, it gives everybody who's poor about $40 more per year. Wow. Don't break the bank there, buddy. They might be able to go grocery shopping like half of one time. Everybody in the top 0.1% or 0.2%, they get $940,000 more per year.
Well, are you really helping the rich by giving the 0.2% $940,000 more dollars more per year? What is rich?
It's like Bill Clinton. What?
It depends what the definition of is.
We know it when we see it. We know it when we see it. Yes, if you're making $1 million a year, you're fucking rich. Of course you're fucking rich. You're literally in the top 1%. If you have $75 million and that's your net worth, yeah, you're goddamn rich. And, you know, they bring up the alternative minimum tax here. This is another trick that the Republicans are trying to do. This is one of the taxes they want to eliminate. They want to eliminate the estate tax, which, by the way, only kicks in when people have estates. So, you know, you have to have $5 million or more. You have to be in the top 0.2% of Americans to have the estate tax affect you. The Republicans rebranded that, called it the death tax, because they're trying to lie and mislead you and act like if you're a family farmer, your $70,000 is going to go to the government instead of to your kids. Bullshit. Totally not true. That gets passed on to your kids. It only applies to people with estates. So they're trying to get rid of that tax. Another tax they're trying to get rid of is the alternative minimum tax. What's the alternative minimum tax? Well, that makes it so that our tax system is needlessly complicated, where there's all these different ways you can get deductions. And what happens is you have corporations and rich people, they hire lawyers whose sole purpose is to find the way to get the most number of deductions possible for those people. So when you have a team of fucking lawyers looking into how to make it so that you can legally use every loophole imaginable to pay as little tax as imaginable, guess what? Sometimes giant corporations pay nothing in taxes. Sometimes mega rich people pay nothing in taxes or pay 5% in taxes. So the alternative minimum tax says, hey, depending on if you're a corporation or an individual or whatever, the minimum tax you could pay is 20%. Or the minimum tax you could pay, I think, for rich individuals is 25%. So that's them saying it doesn't matter how many fucking deductions you take. You can do deductions until you're getting a net subsidy from the government. We're going to make it so there's a minimum that you have to pay in taxes. You can only deduct to a certain point. If the top marginal rate's 39% or so, you can only deduct to 20%, and then we're not going to let you pay less than 20% in taxes. Well, guess what? The Republicans want to get rid of that and make it so that when rich people and corporations get that army of lawyers to find loopholes for them, at the end of the day, yes, the corporations and the rich people can walk away paying nothing in taxes or get a net subsidy, which is a welfare check for them. That's what the Republicans want. And the entire time they do that, they try to dupe you over by going out there and saying, well, are we helping the rich? I don't know. It depends. What is rich? I don't know if $1 million is rich. Is $1 million rich? I mean, I have $75 million. Does that count as rich? I think maybe rich kicks in at $1 billion. Spare me. You are robber barons. That's exactly what you are, and you're rigging the system for corporations and the rich, and you know it. Okay. I'm very parched today. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, final break here, and then when we come back, we're going to discuss climate change, we're going to discuss ICE, immigration enforcement, and then I got some insane Christian babble for you, which I know some of you, that's your favorite thing. Stay right there. We will be right back.
the left, the left. You will fake so one bone grab you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the lecturer, nigga, left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will fake so one bone grab you with the left.
Son
the
of
left.
A
I feel like I'm the lecturer, nigga, left.
All right, y'all.
Okay, 30 minutos left here in the week skis, and we are now going to hop into a story about climate change. Today in the U.S. being an embarrassment on the world stage, Trump's new ambassador to Canada says she respects both sides of climate science. The president has expressed skepticism that man-made climate change is occurring. This is an article from The Independent. The U.S.'s new ambassador to Canada has said she respects both sides of climate science. Kelly Kraft, who began her role this week, said she appreciated all of the scientific evidence on climate change. Quote, I think that both sides have their own results from their studies, and I appreciate and I respect both sides of the science, Ms. Kraft told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Ms. Kraft's husband, coal mogul Joe Kraft, has criticized the climate change policies of former U.S. President Barack Obama. Well, of course, Trump is doing exactly what these people want. He pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement. He's letting the EPA do absolutely nothing as corporations literally pollute the air and water. 80,000 toxic chemicals are now not being regulated like they were previously. This is just embarrassing, man. Like, think of the rest of the modern world, then think of the United States. We're 100% out of lockstep with the rest of the modern world. Every other modern nation is like, yeah, climate science is happening. Even conservatives in other modern countries are like, yeah, come on, let's be serious. So they all are like, yeah, climate science, totally. Climate change is happening. We need to do something about it, and this is really important. And so we're the outlier among modern nations. So in other words, we're the least educated on this issue among modern nations. And specifically, let me be clear, the problem is among politicians more than anything. There are more average Joes that get it than don't get it. Among politicians, virtually every Republican is a climate science denier. You know, maybe there's a handful of exceptions, but that's unprecedented in the modern world, guys. Every other modern government is like, yeah, of course, climate change is happening, and we need to stop it. Even the conservatives, yeah, yeah, what are we going to do? Of course. But our conservatives, this is what you get from us. And see, the point is, it really is fucking embarrassing when our ambassadors go around the world and talk to these other governments, talk to these other media outlets, and they're like, well, yeah, see, what had happened was both sides of the debate are reasonable and have their own evidence. No, 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 no. One side is funded by big oil and fossil fuel companies. The other side is not. The other side is objective empirical science and research. This isn't that hard to fucking decipher. Follow the money. Not that difficult. If somebody's doing their research on a tiny government grant, they're not really doing it for greed now, are they? If somebody's backed up by big oil, yeah, I think that there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there, that the people who want to keep contributing to climate change, wow, happen to find the answer, they don't think climate change is happening. Or my favorite, maybe it's a good thing. Yeah, it's climate change is happening, but maybe it'll, you know, make areas nice and toasty and we can all have vacations. We can go hang out on the beach in fucking Antarctica within the next few decades, because why not? I've shown this pie chart before on the show, but there was a meta-analysis done of all the peer-reviewed studies on climate science. Because you know how people love to cite this poll of scientists where, like, they say 97% of scientists agree that climate change is happening. And I always say, don't fucking cite that poll, because that poll is not even your strongest argument. Your strongest argument is the meta-analysis of peer-reviewed studies on climate change. And they found like 99.9% or 99.8% or something of all peer-reviewed climate science over an extended period of time said, yes, climate change is happening, it's largely man-made, and we need to do something about it. There's only a little sliver of red on that chart that's the people who say that's not the case. So that's what we call a scientific consensus, bitch. That's what that is. So it's just beyond embarrassing that we have people who represent our government who are tanking the Paris Climate Agreement and saying embarrassing shit like this. Now we are branded. I don't think a lot of right-wingers in our government get it. Now we're branded as the dumb country. I mean, in other respects, we were always branded like that too, like with our healthcare system. But we're looked at as like, yeah, these guys are the ones who are the world's only superpower, and they're just not as evolved on these issues as other modern countries. They still don't have it settled with climate science. They still don't have it settled with healthcare. I mean, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, and it's dumb, and it's embarrassing, and it makes other modern nations look at us like we don't even belong in the class of developed countries. Okay. All right, now, good googly moogly. I have a sad story for everybody. Quite a story here on NPR. 10-year-old girl is detained by Border Patrol after emergency surgery. They say immigrant advocates are protesting the Border Patrol's apprehension this week of a 10-year-old girl with cerebral palsy in the country illegally after she was operated on at a Texas hospital. Federal immigration officers intercepted the child as she and an adult cousin, who is a U.S. citizen, were in an ambulance being transferred between two hospitals so that she could receive emergency gallbladder surgery. Rosa Maria Hernandez was brought to the United States illegally from Mexico in 2007 when she was 3 months old, according to her mother, Felipa de la Cruz, to get access to better medical care. The family lives in Laredo, Texas, and are all undocumented. The girl was traveling in an ambulance, accompanied by her cousin, to Driscoll Children's Hospital in Corpus Christi on Tuesday when federal immigration officers stopped the vehicle at a checkpoint. The Border Patrol agents followed the ambulance to the hospital, according to the family's lawyer, Leticia Gonzalez. The agents insisted the door to her hospital room be left open at all times to keep an eye on her. On Wednesday, the hospital discharged Rosa Maria. The lawyer, reading the discharge papers on a conference call with reporters, said doctors recommended the child be released to a family member who is familiar with her medical and psychological needs. But officers decided to transport the girl to a government contracted juvenile shelter in San Antonio, 150 miles from Laredo, and put her into deportation proceedings. The Border Patrol defends its actions at the checkpoint, the hospital, and the youth shelter. Dan Hetledge, a spokesperson for Customs and Border Protection, says throughout the two-day incident, agents were just enforcing federal immigration law. That is dark, man. I mean, that is really, really dark. That's what we want to do? Listen, even if you're somebody who considers themselves a conservative and you hear this story, does that not make you cringe a little bit? Does that not make you upset a little bit? Does that not make you feel like this is injustice a little bit? First of all, if you're brought here from when you're 3 months old, it was through no fault of her own whatsoever. She was just brought here. What was she going to do? Object at 3 months old? I'd like to say that we should... I can't talk yet, but I'd like to say that we shouldn't go, and I'd like to cite Section A, Subsection L of the U.S. Immigration Enforcement Code. Like, what the... Come on, man. Come on. And then she's just going to get surgery. Now, what they're saying, by the way, is also not true, because they're acting like, oh, we're just enforcing the law. We don't have an option. We don't get to use our discretion. Well, actually, you do, because this has been happening a lot recently where, you know, you have immigration officials deporting people, like, right from the hospital and in other places like churches. And so it's been released now that avoid sensitive places. you know, you don't go to the hospital and you know, check there, and you don't avoid sensitive places because obviously the optics are pretty fucking bad. But they're not, and they go, well, no, but see, what had happened was we saw her at the checkpoint first, and yeah, but then you followed them to the hospital and went through everything. What? How does this? This doesn't keep America safe. Is that how you think you're doing? You're keeping America safe here?
Let's deport this little girl who needed surgery. That's what we need to do.
You know, again, we've gone over the issue of immigration in detail. And what's amazing is how the facts are the exact opposite of what many on the far right would like to pretend. So, for example, both legal immigrants and undocumented immigrants have a lower crime rate as a percentage than Native Americans. Native U.S. citizens, I should say. Not Native Americans, as in Native Americans, than Americans who are citizens. Isn't that stunning? I mean, that really is, it blows people's minds. You're like, wait, what? I was told that they're all criminals and they're all... No, it turns out that the overwhelming majority of them are here to try to create a better life for their family and, yes, to work hard. Remember when Alabama had the most strict immigration law in the country? What happened? They got rid of it a few months later because they said, holy fuck, our economy's like collapsing. So it turns out that immigrants are a net benefit for the economy. And now what we're doing is we're going to hospitals and we're deporting little girls. Wow, thanks for keeping America safe. It's just, it's bad. And look, Obama was bad with deportations too, but at least with Obama, the number is, I think, 90% of the people he deported were criminals. Now, I have no problem with deporting criminals. I don't know if that puts me in a different boat than everybody else listening here. I have no problem with that. What we're seeing now is, this is just, there's no discretion. It's just a total and complete crackdown on undocumented immigrants to the point where it's even little girls who need surgery. We should probably stop doing this. Okay. Okay, now let's go to a lunatic Christian fundamentalist. Rick Wiles is one of my favorite Christian fundamentalists, particularly because he's so far gone and he says so many absurd things that we could basically do a segment on anything he says. You could pick a random clip of his show. Random clip. And it's almost a guarantee that I would be able to rant about that for a good 10 minutes because he's just, woof, is he lost. So here he is talking about what he views as the real danger to America. This is awesome.
This country has turned from the Lord, and he has raised us up to tell the American people, listen, I didn't expect this on the very first week and now the second week of our national telecast. I did not plan that the theme the Lord wanted me to deliver every day is, if we do not repent, he's going to send in a foreign nation to conquer us. I can't shake it. This has been on me ever since we started this TV program.
Yes.
The Lord keeps telling me, look into the camera and tell the American people, your time is running out. You must repent.
Amen.
Now. Foreign nations are preparing their armies,
yes,
to invade the United States of America. The only way to stop it is mass repentance in America. And mass repentance means you will shut down the Planned Parenthood baby butcher shops. You will shut down the pornography. You will turn from your wicked ways. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment.
Yes.
And God is sounding the alarm to the American,
amen,
people, saying, repent, Repent, repent.
Oh, there's so much to say about that. So first of all, who exactly is going to invade us and conquer us? I like how he just brushes over all, like, the most important facts. What is it, North Korea, with their fucking military that has the budget of 37 cents and a Pop-Tart? They're going to invade us and they're going to take us over? Is it Russia? Look, I'm afraid of escalating conflict with Russia, but it's all avoidable. And it's not... He makes it seem like, well, obviously, this is going to happen because God wills it. What? God ain't got nothing to do with it, bitch. Your wizard in space isn't there. But I love the reasoning he gives for why we're going to be taken over. We're going to be taken over and we're going to be conquered because we're not repenting. We're not repenting. Well, Rick, why do... Repent for... What specifically? Oh, are you mad because, you know, hey, we've been violating international law for decades now? We invaded a country that didn't attack us, Iraq, and we killed hundreds. Are you mad about killing civilians? That's understandable. You know, I don't think there's a God, but if there was a God, perhaps that God would be mad about us killing civilians. Perhaps they're mad about us doing torture? Maybe. No. Planned Parenthood. We have to stop with Planned Parenthood and women's reproductive choices, and that'll save us from God sending an army to take us over. First of all, like, what is it? 97% of what Planned Parenthood does is just like regular, hey, you know, contraception, cancer screening, stuff like that. He just acts like about baby murdering clinics. Again, these guys are so pro-life that they're pro the death penalty. Literally.
We have stopped killing people. Stop killing the babies.
What about the adults? You want to stop killing them? No, you can kill them. What?
I'm so pro-life that I'm in favor of every U.S. intervention in war where we kill civilians. But I'm pro-life. Stop with Planned Parenthood.
But the best part,
we have to repent and stop the pornography.
Can you imagine making that connection in your mind? We're going to get invaded and taken over by a conquering power because God wills it, because God is mad that you looked at some nipples and some booties on the internet. Well, Rick, if God was mad about that, pretty sure we would have been invaded the day after the internet was created. Because I can guarantee you, there was a lot of shit being looked at on day one of the internet. From the first naked picture that was put up on the internet, people were like bugs to lights going there. Oh, Jesus Christ. Could you imagine having your moral barometer, your moral meter, so broken that you are obsessed with how wrong it is for people to jerk off online? Like, really, that's what keeps you awake at night?
We're going to get conquered. We're going to get conquered because Pornhub has too many viewers. Oh, God.
And we all know, that if you look at Rick Wiles' search history online, ooh, boy, he's probably got the creepiest of creepy porn. He's probably on some, like, you know, next level shit, where people who are already kinky and into weird stuff look at him like, dude, what the fuck? Really? Frogs in people's asses? Reel it in, son. Reel it in. I mean, that's the only... When you are so obsessed with shit like that, it's like the guys who are massively, colossally anti-gay, and then come to find out they were blowing dudes in highway bathrooms. You know, it's because they're, as Dan Savage says, they're externalizing an internal struggle. So they think it's being gay is a choice for everybody else, because to them it's a choice. To them it's like, I don't want to do it, but I feel compelled to do it. So they think everybody's fighting off an urge to do it. Well, that's Rick Wiles with his, addiction to net porn. He's like, he's externalizing that internal struggle. So he's like, if I don't stop beating off, we're going to get invaded. What? I mean, no, if you don't stop it, you're the one who has a problem. He probably does it for hours a day. Ugh. What a gross thought. Okay. All right. Final story of the day, final story of the week, y'all. Here we go. Fox News did a segment about a college class that they support. It's quite a divergence from their usual take of shitting on higher education. But let's take a look and see why they're so excited about this class.
And some protesters can learn a thing or two from this university course. College of the Ozarks creating a mandatory freshman class on patriotism, focusing on respect for the military and for our beautiful flag. College President Jerry Davis calls this a much-needed move, and he joins us live from their campus with more. Good morning to you, Jerry. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Why did you decide to make this class mandatory for all freshmen at your school?
We think this class will enhance our carrying out of our patriotic goal, and we're trying to teach students to understand and support and be willing to defend our country. We think that's needed, especially because of the culture in which we live. We have 99% of us having our safety secured by less than 1% in the military, and we think the general public needs to have a better understanding of the military, and we think our students need to get that background, too, before they go out in the world, and we hope make a difference.
I think it's just great. You said it must be taught. It must be modeled. The class is called Patriotic Education and Fitness, and in this class you teach rifle marksmanship, map reading, and rope knotting. Why did you decide those three things need to be taught to our students?
Well, if you're going to teach young people about the values that I identified, there's no better way to do that than in cooperation with the United States military. So basically this course includes what we would find in ROTC 101 at most campuses. It's a combination of courses.
I wanted to get your response to Colin Kaepernick's protest, and what would you tell your teams if they go and play another team that refuses to stand for the anthem?
We don't plan on playing another team that refuses to stand. We think that's disrespectful, and we think we owe the military more than that. Some people say that it's not about the military. Well, that's who usually brings the flags out when we do the national anthem, and we think it's not encouraging to somebody, for example, who might be in Afghanistan risking their lives to come home and see some spoiled millionaire making a statement against the very country they're trying to defend. So we think people can say whatever they want, but they need to keep in mind there's a better place to say that. We don't care if a person's involved in football, basketball, or basket weaving. We all owe this country something, and we certainly owe the people who defend us our respect.
All right, Jerry Davis, God bless you. If you're watching at home, you have a high schooler, and you want more information, the school is College of the Ozarks. Thank you so much.
That's just embarrassing. Like, what did we just watch? So, I mean, you would think, first of all, if there's going to be a class on patriotism, what would you put in your class on patriotism? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I would cover, say, the civil rights movement. Maybe I'd cover the New Deal. Maybe I would cover the Constitution. What are you?
No, what we're going to do is we're going to have a class on patriotism. We're going to talk about how the military is always right. We're going to talk about loving the troops. And we're going to tie some knots, maybe shoot some rifles. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're going to do a patriotism class that's just what you like and your hobbies. That's what that is.
And I like shooting rifles and tying knots. We're going to tie some knots. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to worship the flag. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a moment where everybody looks at the flag and they start touching themselves. Touch yourself when you look at the flag. Got to respect our troops. Respect our troops by showing affection for the flag. Best way to show affection, touch yourself. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, your patriotism class is embarrassingly simple-minded. Because he doesn't understand the basics of patriotism. Loving your country is not shutting your mind off and blindly worshiping a piece of fucking cloth, dipshit. Loving your country is understanding that you live in a country that would allow you to even burn the flag without taking punitive action against you. Because that's the freedom and liberty that we're supposed to uphold and we're supposed to care about. And what you need to do is stop fucking lying. I'm tired of these liars who try to pretend, like Colin Kaepernick and everybody who's kneeling at these games, they're doing it because they hate the troops and they hate our flag. Mm-hmm. And they're disrespectful. It's got nothing to do with that, and you know it has nothing to do with that because they keep telling you it has nothing to do with that. They keep telling you this is about protesting police injustice. So you want to fix it? Do something about it. Maybe if we fix the problem, we will stop kneeling. Maybe if we pass a law where we nationwide have community policing. Maybe if we demilitarize the police. Maybe if we gave everybody police body cameras. Maybe if we end the fucking drug war and get people out of jail who don't belong in jail. Maybe if you do that, they would stop kneeling. Because they're telling you, hey, this is what we're mad about. But no. You want to pretend like it's disrespecting our troops and our flag. Mandatory patriotism class. And then that leads to the final point here, which is, what happened? I thought the right-wingers were the defenders of free speech and free expression. Now it is a mandatory class to take at this college where they are, the whole point is to be against people who are exercising their First Amendment rights and doing peaceful protest. You fucking hypocrites. By the way, what do you want them to do? So if there is, if police kill an unarmed person, how are you supposed to protest that? So if you go out there and do peaceful protest, they say, wow, come on, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. You don't need to do that. Why are you marching in the streets? If people riot, they go, oh, my God, look at these thugs. Would you stop? And then if you go all the way down to the most peaceful protest imaginable, just silently kneeling, they go, wow, get over, what do? You hate the flag. So there's literally nothing you could do to raise awareness about that issue without being smeared. They ask them, hey, how can somebody protest police injustice, police brutality, with you being okay with it? They don't have an answer. Because here you have the epitome of a peaceful protest, the most American kind of protest, and they smear. And they say, you hate our troops, and now we're going to create a class, a patriotism class, where you pretend to be patriots. Well, guess what? If you were patriots, thing number one you would say is, even if I don't agree with him, he has a right to do that and not face punishment. But instead, we have the President of the United States, the leader of the executive branch, the government. He represents the government, saying, hey, maybe people should get fired if they protest the government in a way I don't like. So in your patriotism class, apparently rule number one is, fuck the First Amendment. We don't believe in it. Okay. We're done here, guys. I love you, and I will see y'all on Monday. Much love. Everybody enjoy your weekend. Peace.